Very good afternoon to everybody, and thank you. As you see that, you know, I'm from Bangladesh. It's a lovely country with a lot of story of success and as well as failure. And I work at ICTTAB. This is an international research organization located in Dhaka. And we have been working for quite a long time with HIV/AIDS in this center. So at the beginning, let me allow to put this slide for you, because I've been working with sexual minorities for last more than 18 years, and I really respect the beauty of diversity they have. They are the eternal source of my knowledge and aspirations. And also a lot of donors, National HIV/AIDS Program, Government of Bangladesh, and of course civil society organizations. Excellent collaborative work. And this is Dennis Alpan, political educational scientist. I love this quote. The greatest tragedy of HIV/AIDS is that we know how to stop its spread, and yet in most part of the world we are failing to do so. There is less emphasis on the political barriers that are accelerating the epidemic. The deliberate neglect by the governments, the unwillingness to speak openly of HIV, its risk, the hypocrisy with which simple measures of prevention are prevented in the name of culture, religion, and tradition. So let me put, before I move to the female partners of MSM, I will show some of the context of other areas which have a lot of similarities. So I think that whether we are missing targets, this is a design error or something else. Look at this picture. This is a picture inside a brothel of Bangladesh. We are doing an evolution study. So this is the water and sanitation condition of that brothel. You simply cannot stand 1 minute inside the brothel. And millions of dollars spent for condom promotion and STI treatment. And for example, a peer educator working in that brothel was saying like this: the female sex worker in brothel get STI from the dirty toilet. So I generally urinate in a bucket in my room, then dispose off to the toilet. And we are not working with the water and sanitation of that particular brothel. This is another picture of that brothel. The women here, you can find, you know, I mean, they're born in this brothel. And now they have their own children in this brothel. And she mentioned that you only talk about condoms and STI. You even do not treat our general health problems. Like clients, your only focus is on our genitals. Save our life and children first. We were doing another evaluation study with the tea plantation community in Bangladesh. Sanitation and water supply of the tea plantation community was again a big disaster. This is a toilet. You cannot imagine the situation. So when we worked with the population, they never talked about HIV/AIDS to us. They talked about this one, that why you are not working in this area. So this is the out of the focus of the project, but the focus of life. And I'm sure that a lot of homeless people everywhere in this world, lying and whole night on the street, young sex worker in Bangladesh. A lot of abuse, you know, you can see that. These homeless young girls are victims of abuse and violence. Infecting with HIV is not a big thing in their life. They want social, economic, and legal safety. Current interventions will not eliminate risk and vulnerabilities of their life. Now, think about this picture. If I ask you the question that who should be targeted for research and intervention, I'm sure the answer will be like this. Of course, the drug user, right? This is a drug user, and this is a professional shooter with the drugs. But think about, what about the drug user's sex partner? What about this professional shooter who is often a drug user, but no interventions are with professional shooter? What about the wife sitting, lying on that room, you know, just behind that room, the wife of the professional shooter, no intervention with them? What about these young children who is internalizing all the drug-using behavior from the very early boyhood? And don't think I'm also advocating for this. And this is another interesting picture. This is a ex-Director General of Health Services of Bangladesh, and he was the ex-Vice Chair of CCM. CCM is the Country Coordination Mechanism for the Global Fund. Those of you who know with CCM, you know that. So we were disseminating seminar. The dissemination was the HIV/AIDS situation among MSM and transgender Hijra population. So he was the chief guest. And also, as a vice chair, he is the owner of the Global Fund project supported by Global Fund. And this is the Global Fund project. So as a vice chair, he was telling that transgender Hijra people may be accepted as their special creature of Allah, the God. But I cannot accept MSM. Their behaviors are greatest sin and totally unacceptable. So as a chair of the session, so we were so embarrassed by having him there, and we don't work with these people. So my question is that these are not design error. I think that researchers, program managers, including donors, are influenced by gender and power politics in various ways. We all want our work to be politically and culturally safe, because this is very easy target to work with vulnerable population. And also, it's very difficult to work with people in power. That's why you just ignore all the other dimension of the picture. So with that background, I start with the presentation that missing female partners of males having sex with males, MSM and transgender people, in research and intervention, a gender power politics. Let me start with an email that I received in 2003 from an NGO leader in Bangladesh. He wrote like this: "Finally, I'm going to marry." He's an MSM, a very close friend of mine. "I have no choice, otherwise my mother will get sick and die. I know this is not good for our community and many will condemn me, but what can I do? Once we discussed we should work for female partners of MSM, now I feel this is really needed. But how? As I clearly realize that it is not possible to work with female partners of MSM because he is getting married, right? Then no MSM can have a family life." So this email was written in 2003, and now sitting in 2013, hearing a lot of interventions with MSM, we are still not addressing female partners of MSM. So let's talk about a hidden life of a Kothi. Kothi is a local term, both used in India as well. These are feminine MSM. So these feminine MSM are also married. As Brian mentioned, they are married. They have their own private sphere of life, the preferred way of living. You can see that he is having a loving relation with his peers, taking makeup, close cross-dressing, parik means lover, you know, all these issues are there. And then this Kothi also, in a public domain, he surrendered to the heteronormative patriarchy. And that's why he is having children, wife, everything in his public domain. So despite 16 years of intervention with MSM, female partners of MSM are not seriously addressed in research and intervention. This presentation will focus on what we know and what we don't know and why. So the method that I applied, basically we took ICDRB research qualitative data from two different studies, and also I did a comprehensive literature search through PubMed, and you can see the different sociological the search engines and data analysis, content and contextual analysis. Period was from 2000 to 2012. So very quickly I will tell you brief what we found here. Predominant nature of studies with MSM and transgender population basically are narrowly focused. So let me tell you how it is narrowly focused. When you look at the sexual health and well-being kind of studies with MSM and transgender population, we found that most of the studies are from HIV AIDS arena. But what about the sexual, and when we talk about sexual health and well-being, there are, you can see that, you know, there are a lot of issues which are very pertinent, like sexual pleasure and satisfaction, sexual health concerns, gender power politics, and all those mental health, all those issues are there. But the studies we, through the comprehensive review, it's very clear that the broader sexual health and well-being of MSM and transgender population are generally neglected. Sexual health interventions remain as narrowly focused on HIV. Now I tell you that when you talk about the risk assessment studies with MSM and transgender population, then again, I mentioned about focused on HIV. When you look at the, how they are focused on HIV, you can see that most of the studies are focused on sexual risk. So what happened? The drug using risk behavior are there. Alienation, isolation, violence, abuse, you know, stress, depression, all these issues are not addressed when we talk about even HIV. And these issues are relevant to the HIV. So the issue is that holistic risk assessment studies are missing. The linkages are not well established with HIV. Interventions are narrowly focused primarily on reducing sexual risk. Most studies have measured serological markers and demonstrated that MSM and transgender population are suffering from higher HIV prevalence and continue to be at risk. Any studies you find, you can find this statement. Even the 2012, the latest Lancet series on MSM, they have no discussion on the female partners of MSM. No articles. And you can find that, you know, all these wonderful graphs are taken from Lancet. I mean, the prevalence data are there. Some studies have addressed diversity among MSM and transgender population, recommended to design HIV intervention according to the context. Like in Bangladesh, we found that a man may, you know, I don't like this, you covered already, a man may have masculine role in society, perceive himself as man, yet have sex with other men without acquiring homosexual identity. Self-perception of gender identity and roles influence MSM sexual roles. Thus, MSM gender and sexuality is a complex blending which challenge the positivist understanding of gender and heterosexuality. So you can see that among the MSM community, this is also not homogeneous. Among MSM community, you can find the Kothi, Panthi, male sex worker, Gairia, Do Paracha, you know, all these diversities are there. And the issue is that male-to-male sex influenced by local context, so overlapping fluid identity and this kind of thing. Studies from US, Central and Eastern Europe, Asia, Pacific countries shown that MSM are having sexual relations with females, not only in Asian country, many parts of the world, you know, they are having sexual relations with females. Many MSM are married, going to be married. Generally, MSM do not use condoms with their female partners, placing them at much higher risk of HIV transmission as a special risk population. You know, those kind of, through the comprehensive review, we find that. So look at this interesting picture, this kind of sexual cobweb networking, the vulnerability of MSM's female partners, silent victims. We did a study in Chittagong that, you know, sample size was quite small, only 67. All the clients were having, this is a sexual history of 3 months. So they were having, of course, 100% sex with male sex worker, right? So among this client, 48% were married. And then 28% had sex with female sex worker. And of those female sex worker, 9% are married. And these clients have 6% girlfriends and relatives who, with whom he have sex. And male sex worker, 7% also had sex with girlfriends and relatives. And 7% again with female sex worker. And 10% with wives. 65% of the clients were having non-injecting and injecting drug-using behavior. I'm trying to show you the, how the vulnerability web is there. And among male sex worker, 53%, again, injecting drug user. And among female sex worker, you can see 2% injecting drug user. So that's the sexual, this for you, Brian. The sexual networking with the drug-using networking, also the vulnerability of the female partners. Few studies have described reasons for MSM to have female sexual relation, including reasons for getting married. And I like to take the privilege to take one of my study findings here. So you can see that MSM One is masculine role on the left side, insertive sex role, and also MSM feminine role, receptive sex role. So why they have sex with each other? Basically two reasons. Personal preference, desire or eroticism, physical and mental demand for male-to-male sex. That's one response. And the other one is that a form of sexual enjoyment, only for discharge, sexual fun, to earn money, as you mentioned. These are issues. So two different answers, right? Now, let's see why the masculine, MSM, they have sex with female partners. So you can see that, again, two different reasons. Personal sense of responsibility, man should marry to shoulder patrimony, run family, follow socio-religious norms. Also, real man, sexuality, should have enjoyable sex with female. And then, if you think about why, then the receptive partners are having sex with females and wives. The answer can be divided, categorized in two ways again. Men's, because the feminine men want to show that men's biological capacity to have sex with female. And also, socio-religious responsibility, again, the similar response are there. So that's why I think that the whole thing is basically traditional norms, religious sanctions, and socio-cultural expectation of heteronormative society to construct normal life, family life, by marrying a woman. And that can be identified as masculine sexuality. Some studies describe difficulties to reach female partners of MSM. Let me show you what are the difficulties those studies have found. I will not be able to show my face to my wife, female partners. Why should I suffer from such a guilt by disclosing it to my girlfriend? My wife will leave me if he knows it. Not only my wife, my children will look down upon me. I mean, the question was that why they cannot disclose their male-to-male sex to the female partners. So my wife may have sex with other men to punish me. I will be arrested as it is a crime because Bangladesh Penal Code 377 is a criminal offense. So I will not get a job. So this can be categorized like, you know, all this thematic categorization. So studies strongly recommend that HIV interventions for MSM must reach female partners. Every study you read, you can find this recommendation, that these studies must reach female partners. However, how female partners can be reached is generally not explored and discussed. We did a study. We wanted to see that whether it is possible. Look at this, some suggestion to bring female partners to the drop-in center for STI treatment, for MSM informants. They mentioned that certainly not in a male clinic. They cannot bring their wife or female partners. She can be taken to only family planning clinic, not in any STI clinic or MSM clinic like this one. She needs to be carefully interacted so that she cannot guess anything. I mean, anything means this male-to-male sex. Is that possible? And then some of the key informants of the people who are working with this field for a long time, they mentioned that this is a complex issue. We really do not know what to do. Females will not visit MSM-DIC. If we ask MSM to bring their female partners, they may stop coming to the DIC. So the intervention will be stopped. We never seriously tried any model. That is also true. So my analysis is that this is basically a gender power politics. All these issues are grounded in protecting men's self-image, masculinity, and social prestige. No responsible and loving feelings for the female partners. No regret for cheating female partners. Ignoring their health care needs. Not obligated to ensure health services to the female partner. So the concern is that silently accepting sufferings and exploitation of female partners who are uninformed victims in the name of cultural sensitivity, to safeguard family life of women, to maintain social peace and family peace, is originated from deeply rooted male supremacy and sexual power politics. This is a form of gender insensitive rather approach and a kind of sexual and gender exploitation of women in a male dominated social, scientific and program domain. This has led to inappropriate and partial HIV intervention, which is rather more damaging as it creates a sense of false safety among MSM as their all range of partners are not covered. So they remain at risk. So not only female partners at risk, the MSM ultimately at the end of the day, they also remain at risk. So the way forward could be one of the major barriers to work with female partners of MSM are grounded in the inept mentality of the professionals influenced by gender power politics. So this has to be understood and discussed in the scientific discourse. And in the countries where MSM transgender interventions are now going on, I think it's not a difficult task to test different models of intervention. And the implementation research can be easily done with very low cost in this country. So with that, I stop and thank you very much for your listening. And I wish you safe and healthy sexual life. Thank you.